Well, we've come to the last lesson in a series that I've entitled God's Means of Revelation. And we have seen how God has revealed himself, both in nature and in Scripture. Sometimes we'll say generally in nature and specifically in Scripture. And then most specifically in his Son, Jesus Christ, revealing himself when the Word became flesh. And last week, we were talking about the concept of inspiration. And inspiration in the English language is a much broader term than the word that is translated inspired in 2 Timothy chapter 3, which we looked at last week. But all Scripture is inspired by God, is the way that text reads. And what that means to people probably depends a lot on what their definition of inspired is. And if they use the broad definition that is so commonly used, they might think that that's the way that God inspired the prophets of old, or would inspire the apostles and prophets of Jesus. And the idea of the word here is God breathed. And we talked about this last week. Or as the ESV puts it, breathed out by God. And the point is not that the Scripture is breathed into by God, that these men wrote these things down and then God put his Spirit into the words so that it enlivened them, but that God put his words in the men so that they spoke them and so that they wrote them. And this is Jesus' view of Scripture. We looked at this last week, that Jesus' view of Scripture was that God was really the mouth behind the prophet. And we looked at Jesus' promise about future revelation. That he, even though he was manifesting God in the flesh, was going to die and be raised and ascend back to his Father in heaven. And of course, the apostles struggled to grasp that concept, did not grasp that concept when Jesus spoke it. And there were other things that they struggled with to understand. And Jesus is assuring them that after he was gone, he would send them a comforter, a paraclete, one who comes alongside of the Holy Spirit, and that he would guide them. And just to get things going here for this lesson, John chapter 16, let's go to verse 12. Notice what Jesus says here. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. You notice here that Jesus is saying that they don't know everything they need to know yet. That there are things that are beyond their comprehension. They would not just simply not be able to grasp at this time. There was more, is the point. And that the Holy Spirit was going to be sent by Jesus to guide them into these things. And the reason I emphasize that is because sometimes people, there's this little debate about the red letter editions of your Bible. People will say something that sounds very good, like, well, what's most important to me are the letters in red, because those are the words of Jesus. And of course, we should hang on every word of Jesus. But what Jesus just said here that we just read tells us that the words in red, so-called, as the publishers have decided that they should be, those were written by these apostles and prophets under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that those words are insufficient. They're not everything. By Jesus' own statement, this isn't everything. There's more that you need to know that you will be teaching to people. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in that. He promises them that. And that's why it's very important for us to take all of Scripture and consider it not just isolate the words in red, for example, and say, that's all that I need to know. According to Jesus, according to the words in red, that is not all that we need to know. So Jesus promised to send His Holy Spirit. And after His crucifixion and His resurrection, of course, He appeared to the apostles and other disciples, and He reminds them of these things. So let's go to Luke chapter 24 as that gospel is concluded. Luke chapter 24, and just notice verse 49. Behold, Jesus says, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So there's just the reiteration before He ascends back to heaven. And we have another account of that that Luke writes for us at the beginning of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus again is assuring them, what I promised you is going to come to pass. You go to Jerusalem, you wait there for it. Verse 8, more about this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The Holy Spirit was going to come and guide them in taking the gospel into all the world, everywhere, so that all would hear it. So there's, again, the reiteration of the promises that Jesus had made about not leaving them as orphans, but sending the Holy Spirit to them. But now let's look. We looked at Jesus last week. Now let's look at how the apostles themselves understood this. And to do that, I want to begin by looking at Peter. We're right in the book of Acts. We just read from Acts chapter 1. Just flip the page, go to Acts chapter 2. And notice how Peter explains what's going on this day of Pentecost. Beginning in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So this is Peter's explanation of what is going on. You'll recall that they were miraculously enabled to speak in tongues. And the people can see that these men shouldn't be able to speak in these languages, probably by the way they're dressed like Galileans. And what's going on here is the question that the multitude has. How are these guys able to do that? And some suggest, well, maybe they're drunk. And Peter, of course, refutes that and says, they're not drunk. It's not the right time of day for people to be drunk. And since when, by the way, do drunk people learn languages? They have trouble with their native language, let alone learn a new language. So Peter goes on to explain how this is happening. What is causing this? It's not alcohol. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is aiding them. And Jesus had told them that when they were in these circumstances, that they wouldn't have to worry about what they would speak, but it would be told them by the Holy Spirit. And you see that being manifested here on this particular occasion as Peter stands up before a large multitude of people, thousands of people, and preaches the gospel for the first time. And then later, as they continued to preach the gospel, of course, the authorities, the powers that be, were not happy about that, and so they tried to intimidate them into not preaching it. They arrest Peter and John. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of the Israel, and he goes on to then preach again to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, the same Jewish council that had condemned Jesus to be crucified. Peter is now standing before them and speaking to them with boldness. And verse 13, notice their observation, the Sanhedrin's observation. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Again, looking at their clothing, seeing that they were Galilean, maybe by their accent. The point is, they knew that these were not scribes. These were not educated men. Yet here they are speaking powerfully, boldly. And then we notice again that that's what the Holy Spirit continued to enable them to do. After they were released, they went back to the other apostles. In verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Where'd that boldness come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that everybody who shows boldness is being inspired by the Holy Spirit, but the point is, they had been promised by Jesus that they would be able to do this, even when arrested, when standing before rulers, just like Peter and John just had done. The Holy Spirit had enabled them and was going to continue to enable them to proclaim this gospel. And so we see how the book of Acts begins with Peter and uses him as an example of the preaching that was going on by the apostles in that time. Let's go to what Peter actually wrote himself. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 10. Peter's, of course, writing to people about the salvation that God offers and their need to endure the trials of this life. And he's one to speak because he's endured the trials. And in verse 10, we'll pick up there. "Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." Here, Peter spoke of the salvation that the Old Testament prophets had foretold would come in a future generation through the Messiah, through the Christ. And Peter says that those who preached the gospel did so through the Holy Spirit and were preaching the fulfillment of things that even angels desired to look into. You see, the Old Testament prophets, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, to speak what they spoke and what they wrote, but they didn't understand its fulfillment. They couldn't understand how it would be fulfilled ultimately in Jesus. Nevertheless, they spoke. And so what Peter's saying is the Holy Spirit's now revealing to us the rest of the story, the fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophets had written, the fulfillment in Jesus. And these were things that angels didn't even comprehend or understand, and now are being revealed to the apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ, just like Jesus said they would be. Go with me now to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look at his introduction. Notice what Peter says. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So Peter affirms that God's divine power had fulfilled what Jesus promised about guiding them into all truth. And he explicitly says there that they had been given all things that pertain to life in godliness. So the question that arises in the minds of people who think and like to think deeply sometimes is, how did God do this? How? How did God do this? Well, we get a little insight into that beginning in verse 16 of the same chapter. Peter says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns in the morning and morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So Peter affirmed that the message that they preached was true. It was not made up by them. It was not some cunningly devised fable. The very fact that he says that probably suggests that there were some suggesting that. He affirmed instead that they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he makes a reference to hearing the voice come out of heaven when they were with him at the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, Peter was one of the three that was there. He saw that. He heard that. He witnessed that. And that's powerful. He clarifies here that what they did, what they heard, and what they have through the Holy Spirit, though, is even better than that eyewitness. We tend to think the opposite. We tend to think that, oh, if I could have been present for the transfiguration, nothing would keep me from believing. But Peter highlights, emphasizes that what makes things more sure here is the prophetic word that they received through the Holy Spirit. Again, this was nothing that originated with them as men. They didn't sit around and write up this story after Jesus was killed. Rather, like all prophets, they spoke from God as moved by the Holy Spirit. And moved, this word can mean a number of different things in our English language. It means more than just prodded or motivated. Although it did that, it means more than that. The NIV and the ESV, I think, are most clear. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Moved in that way. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that is why Peter says that we should pay attention to what they spoke, what they wrote, as a light in a dark place. And even the Old Testament scriptures are portrayed that way. And that is why Peter was not negligent to remind them of these things. And that is why Peter was careful to ensure that we would have a reminder of these things after he died. And that's an interesting side point to make an observation about. Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was moved by the Holy Spirit. He was carried along by the Holy Spirit. And he wants to write these things down to ensure that they have a record of it so that they will remember these things. And that's great. That's why we have the Scriptures. That's why we have our New Testaments, because these men who were carried along by the Holy Spirit were carried along to not only speak these things orally, but to write them down. But that also suggests that this wasn't going to be available to the next generation. If the Holy Spirit, as is described by Jesus and promised by Jesus in John chapters 14 through 16 to the apostles, was for every generation, subsequent generations, where's the need to write it down? Why does it need to be written down? If you or I can be carried along by the Holy Spirit as well, or would be. Obviously, we could be. God can do anything He wants to. But the point simply being, Peter understood that these things needed to be written down so that they would have a reminder. Yet if the Holy Spirit was going to be present for the next 2,000 years, just like He was with the apostles, then why would it need to be written down? Why would people need to be reminded of it? Why wouldn't it be just like Jesus said, when you'll be on trial, the Holy Spirit will speak for you. You don't need to prepare. Yet most of us, in our Bible studies, read Scripture, take notes, read other Scriptures, take notes, prepare our thoughts, prepare what we were going to say, and we are not carried along by the Holy Spirit like Peter was. In chapter 3, in verse 14, as he closes this letter, he says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Peter affirms here that what Paul had written was in harmony with what he was writing. That Paul and Peter were in harmony about what they wrote. And that would be obviously why, because the Holy Spirit is carrying both of them along, inspiring both of them. But he also acknowledged that the untaught and the unstable would twist their words as they do also the rest of the Scripture. Do you see what we learned there about Peter's attitude about what he wrote or what Paul wrote? It's Scripture. It belongs in the collection of Scripture. Because they, like the Old Testament prophets, were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And what was produced when they wrote these things down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit constituted the Word of God. These aren't just the musings of some preacher. But many books have been written by many men in the 2,000 years since Jesus Christ. But most of them are not inspired by God. It doesn't mean they aren't useful. It doesn't mean that you can't benefit from them. The point is they're not authoritative. Only the Word of God is authoritative, as men were moved, carried along by the Holy Spirit. That constitutes the Word of God. That is what is authoritative. Now, some people might object. They might say, that's giving an awful lot of power to the words that we have recorded for us by Peter and Paul and the other apostles and prophets. Well, let's look at what Paul has to say about this. We've looked at Peter. Now, let's consider what Paul has to say about that. And to do that, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Paul makes it clear that what was specially revealed to him and the other apostles and prophets would enable those who read what they wrote to understand the apostolic knowledge, the prophetic knowledge of Jesus Christ. These things were written to be understood. And we already read that Peter made the observation that there were some things that Paul wrote that were hard, but hard doesn't mean impossible. And the point simply is that these are still men who have been inspired by God's Holy Spirit, and what was revealed to them was the fulfillment of all that had been written before, what we call the Old Testament. And what was revealed to these apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ would serve as the foundation of those who would be in fellowship with God. And that's important. Because as he specifically makes reference to here, one of the things that was revealed here was that Gentiles and Jews would be one in Christ. And that blew people's minds, Jewish minds. And Paul is saying the mystery has been revealed. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. This is the same thing that Peter said. Paul's saying the same thing. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning with verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul claimed that what the apostles and prophets spoke was that which the Holy Spirit taught from the mind of God. And this is a very important thing for us to understand as we wrap things up here. Unless God reveals his mind, you don't know it. You can't know it unless he has revealed himself. Now, he has revealed himself in nature. He has revealed himself in Scripture. He has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And there were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ and his teaching. And he has been witnessed by the Holy Spirit who moved the apostles and prophets to write these things down. But that's the only way we know it. That's the only way we know anything. So notice what Paul says that the truly spiritual will affirm about this. In chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. That's quite a claim. But if we understand that Jesus promised that his apostles and prophets would be carried along by the Holy Spirit to reveal the mind of God, then isn't that effectively what Scripture is? The commandments of God? Even though they are written by men, some Galilean fishermen, some educated like Paul, nevertheless, it's not their words. It's the Holy Spirit. And this conclusion is completely consistent with what Jesus promised to his apostles. If we understand inspiration to be the Holy Spirit speaking through the instrumentality of men, then we should also understand that whatever they wrote by the Holy Spirit is Scripture as defined at the very beginning of this lesson. God breathed. And that by Jesus Christ, it comes by Jesus Christ, and therefore it is the authoritative Word of God, breathed by Him. With all that in mind, all that we've talked about in this lesson, all that we've talked about in the previous lessons, go to Paul's conclusion of his letter to the churches in Rome. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. As he writes to the saints in Rome, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith, to God alone, wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." That's completely consistent with everything that we've read from Peter and Paul previously in this lesson. Certainly, we undoubtedly, if we're thinking people, have many questions about how God inspired men to produce Scripture. And we're told it's by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit carried them along. But we want to know more. We want to know the mechanics. We want to know the details. Or so we think. But unless God reveals those details to us, we can't know the mechanics. We do not need to be able to fathom God's ways in order to believe in God's ways. And that is so important that we accept that. We do not need to be able to fathom the how, the mechanics of how God is who He is, or how He inspired men to write these things down in order to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Acknowledging that His ways are higher than our ways, we are able to understand only those things which He has revealed. And the rest belongs to Him. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. And we are so tempted to venture into speculation about the how, about the mechanics, about the arrangements. And we need to be careful about that. Indeed, if God has not revealed any more than what we have before us in Scripture, then how can we know? How can we know? God has revealed Himself in nature. He's revealed Himself in Scripture. He has revealed Himself in Jesus. Especially in Jesus. And we have the eyewitness accounts of those who saw Jesus, who witnessed the risen Lord. And that's what gives us hope of a resurrection as well. And that's the fulfillment of the mystery. The mystery is not a mystery any longer. It's revealed in Jesus Christ. It's revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we all can be one, freed from our sins, and eternally with our Creator. I hope the lessons have been helpful to a better appreciation of God's means of revealing Himself, and that we will be satisfied with what He has revealed, and put our faith and trust in Him.